I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. Israel has unleashed its largest wave of airstrikes across Lebanon since agreeing to a ceasefire with Hezbollah last Wednesday, killing at least 11 people. Associated Press correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
Since the ceasefire, Israel carried out at least 4 airstrikes and an artillery barrage in southern Lebanon, including a drone strike that killed a person on a motorcycle, according to Lebanese state media. Hezbollah then launched projectiles on an Israeli military position in a disputed area known as the Shebar Farms, in what Hezbollah called a defensive and warning response after repeated violations of the ceasefire deal by Israel. Israel's latest string of airstrikes against what it said were Hezbollah fighters' infrastructure and rocket launchers across Lebanon was in response to Hezbollah firing the 2 projectiles. I'm Karen Chamas.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, the World Food Program, or WFP, Deputy Executive Director Carl Scow warned Monday the hunger situation in the enclave is getting desperate. He said the WFP was only able to deliver aid to some 300,000 to 400,000 Palestinians in November across the Gaza Strip due to the ongoing Israeli military offensives and the looting of convoys. NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Brussels Tuesday as continued aid to Ukraine and its war with Russia remains at the top of the agenda. Speaking to reporters ahead of the meeting, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte said NATO allies need to continue providing military assistance to Ukraine so it is in a better position to negotiate peace.
But I would argue, let's not have all these discussions step by step on what a peace process might look like. Make sure that Ukraine has what it needs to get to a position of strength when those peace talks start, when the Ukrainian government has decided they are ready to do so.
Rutte said the ministers will also discuss Russia and China's recent efforts to destabilize NATO allies through cyber attacks and blackmail schemes. This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden has arrived in Angola. He's using the first visit to the West African nation by a sitting U.S. president to promote Washington's hefty modern investments in the nation's and the region's economic development. He will also visit a slavery museum where he'll acknowledge how the trafficking of humans once linked the nation's economies. More now from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
A centerpiece of Biden's trip is the U.S. having committed $3 billion to the Lobito Corridor. That's a railway redevelopment linking Zambia, Congo, and Angola, and meant to make it easier to move raw materials around the continent and for export. Biden is touting that project and also visiting the National Slavery Museum and acknowledging the history of slavery that has connected the U.S. and Angola. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump says he will travel to Paris Saturday after accepting an invitation to attend the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. AP correspondent Jennifer King reports.
About 50 heads of state are expected at the high-security affair, which follows a devastating fire in 2019 and 5 years of reconstruction on the landmark site. Trump made the announcement in a post on his Truth Social site. French President Emmanuel Macron was quick to congratulate Trump on his November election before the race was even called, although Trump often mocked Macron on the campaign trail. Macron and other European leaders will be trying to persuade him not to abandon Ukraine. Last weekend, Trump announced he intends to nominate Charles Kushner, the father of Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, to serve as ambassador to France. Trump pardoned Charles Kushner in December of 2020 for his convictions on tax evasion and illegal campaign donations. I'm Jennifer King.
South Africa assumed the rotating presidency of the G20, the group of 20 biggest economic nations, at the start of this month, becoming the first African country to do so. Speaking in Cape Town Tuesday, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said the nation will use its G20 leadership to promote issues close to the continent and the developing nations of the so-called Global South.
This is the first time it's happening on our continent in Africa. And therefore, we want to, not only in terms of optics, we want it to have African flavor in substance, in issues that will be tackled, development issues, and all that.
Ramaphosa said South Africa's priorities for its G20 presidency are to strengthen disaster resilience in the face of climate change, mobilize finance for the move towards greener energy, and tackle unsustainable levels of debt crippling low-income countries, many of them African. He also said they will promote the use of the continent's critical mineral wealth as an engine for growth and development. That wraps up this news update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.